This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Welcome to the Dreamers Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Pardo, and today I'm interviewing Phil and Eve Vanderpool, who are living their dream by moving to Disney World. Welcome to the show, Phil and Eve.
Hey, Joe.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being on the show. I really appreciate it. So let's start by giving everybody a background about yourselves.
Okay, so basically, Phil and I met in 2009, and we were living in New Jersey. And we'd come to Florida for vacation, and just being in Florida, we both decided to go to Disney World. And at that point, we didn't have that full-blown Disney obsession. However, after that first trip, it grew. We made a second trip, and it grew. We got married, had a daughter, and then really things started taking off. We bought DVC. We started coming down at the drop of a dime just because we had to come back down. And it just became so ridiculous that we decided we kind of had to just go with it and go with it in a big way. We needed to move down there. We needed to live in Florida. So we made the move to South Florida. Phil's job agreed to let him work down there, and we moved to South Florida. And then that wasn't close enough, so we had to move to Orlando. So the next goal is to move to Orlando area. And we did that, and, basically it's the story of how all of that progressed over the course of, four years?
It was 3 years. It was relatively quick, and really couldn't believe, how fast it happened. I mean, there was a lot of hard work involved to do that, but we were very fortunate to just be in the right place at the right time, and we had a few strategies, that would allow us to kind of jump on an opportunity when it came up. Such as, constantly living below our means and not actually owning a home. That was very helpful because it allowed us to move around constantly whenever there was an opportunity. And we eventually found a place pretty much a mile from the Magic Kingdom. We were in a position to act on it, and work really aligned for me as well. So there was a lot of luck involved and just a lot of being able to recognize opportunity.
Before we dive deep into everything that it took to get to that point of moving to Orlando, what would you each say inspires you?
Just the thought of continually moving forward. I mean, what we do is we have the same goals in mind very, very often. One of us will come up with the end goal and think it's crazy. And the other one will, no matter who it is, we'll figure out ways to make that happen. And then we just bounce ideas off each other. And it's just a thrill of saying, okay, we've accomplished this. What's next? We're continually happy while we're doing it, but we always think that we can do better. And so it's just that thrill of, okay, what's next?
Yeah, and you always hear stories about people achieving their dreams. And you always say, oh, well, that's great, that's nice. But, it's why can't it be you? There's no reason it can't be you. It should be you. It shouldn't be anyone else. It should be you. You should go out and do it. Just the fact, it's thrilling. It really is thrilling. Just knowing that there is some luck involved, but you just got to show up. You got to hammer away at it and focus it, and you got to love the process. And so that's one of the things. It really is true. You have to love the process. You have to love the whole journey and getting there, and you have to believe in it. And that's exciting to wake up each day and just hammer away at it and attack it from every angle. And really, you get what you want.
Well, yeah, I would totally agree about loving the whole process. Sometimes there's parts that you find that you don't love, but because you love the dream as a whole, you eventually find ways to make it easier and refine it because you love it so much. You're able to stick with it long enough to refine it down to the most simplest form.
Right, and even parts that don't pan out as well as you thought, there's always a lesson to be gleaned. There's always a reason you traveled down that road. And now hey, that's not it. Go the other way. Take what you've learned. Again, it's bittersweet, but
it's cliche too, but it's being able to get over the fear of failure and just be able to find out what works and what doesn't work. And failure is just another lesson that says, hey, that didn't work. Let's try again. Let's retune.
Definitely. So let's dive deeper into where your dream came about to move down to Disney World.
Well, I mean, I know for myself personally, I mean, right before I met Eve, Eve and I basically met each other and were married within 2 months.
2 months, yeah.
We were living very, very different lives at the time. I mean, I was working in Manhattan. I had been working there for about, I guess, almost 9-10 years at the time. And, you know, it was great. It was a lot of fun, but I definitely didn't see myself as a Disney fan as much as I am right now until I met Eve. We actually met one time. We'd known each other for about 3 weeks, and we decided to take a trip to Florida. And one of the places that we decided to go, since we hadn't been in a long time, was Disney World.
Right.
And we went, and remember we went to Epcot one time, and we just had fun. It's kind of one of the places where we fell in love and decided to go further on with our lives, and it was always something special to us. So as we just continued to keep coming back and kind of getting, it's a term that you always use. Yeah, so it says we're all in, basically. Went all in, we just decided that we loved it in the area, and we just wanted to continue to be able to do that every day.
You know, we were also living, like Phil touched upon in the beginning, he had been working in Manhattan for 10 years. I was working for a corporation in marketing, in fashion. We're going to the city. We both lived right across the river from the city in Weehawken, New Jersey. We were living fast-paced lives. It was fun. But, you know, we had been doing the restaurants, out to clubs, lounges, whatever, for a long time. We were living that way for a long time, and it's getting old, you know, and we were getting older, and we were like, you know, this is just, it's such a fast-paced way of life. And when we went down to Disney World, we just found something very pure, something that we hadn't felt since we were younger, since we were children. And now we're adults and enjoying that and looking for something different and inspired and pure. And that's what we found. And that's how it made us feel every time we were down there and around others that felt the same way. It felt like we belonged.
Yeah, there's a big community aspect as well too. I mean, just seeing it as, you know, okay, it's a theme park, and on the outside it is crazy. I mean, you have to admit it sounds crazy. It is nuts to get into something as much as Disney fans are, or the hardcore ones anyway. But there was that sense of community of we want to be a part of this, that I think is what drove us to take the steps and do what it took to get down here.
So how long have you been married?
Just under 5 years.
And you said you got married within 2 months of knowing each other?
Within 2 months, yeah. I think that was about it. July?
Right.
Yeah, about 2 months.
We met in July of 2009, I moved in after a week, went on vacation after a month.
About 2.5 months.
2.5 months we got married.
Wow. Then my next question is supposed to be how your dream was received by family, but I'm more curious to see how your dream was received. How getting married was received by your families.
They honestly didn't care. It was kind of crazy. They weren't
either.
Shocked. They weren't surprised. It was just, oh, okay.
Okay. I had a feeling. I guess in the months leading up to everything, we had talked about each other a lot to our respective families. And so they may have gotten the feeling that this was different but right. And we knew, having been in previous relationships, of course, and out in the world for some time, that, you know, it's right. And you just go with it with everything you have. And those same traits that led us to make the decision to get married quickly and so on and so forth kind of lead us to really let our passions drive us and fuel us. And I feel like that translated.
Yeah, I mean, if one of us says we're going to do something, that's kind of almost a dare at that point. And the other one holds us to it. So.
Yeah, for sure.
So wait, let me just clarify for our listeners, because I'm having trouble. You met each other and within 2 months you were married?
2.5 months we were married, yeah.
Okay, oh, because it sounded like when you just described it that you had known each other for a long period of time.
Oh, no.
And or dated before that, got engaged, and then within 2 months, you were like, you know what? Let's just get married right now.
No.
Okay, so it was 2 months from start to wedding rings.
Yeah, no, we had the same circle of friends, but, like, never met. And I suddenly just met at a barbecue July 3rd barbecue, actually, in 2009, and that was it.
By October, we were married.
And did you mention how old you both were?
I was 31, I think.
Yeah, I was 28. I was going to be 29 shortly.
Wow, I would have never guessed either of you are that old.
Thanks.
Yeah.
you're welcome.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
Seriously, I really thought you were.
It's the Jersey water, really.
The Jersey water's preserved us. The Jersey and the dreaming.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm all about the Jersey.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's move on to how was your well, I guess your families were pretty not surprised by you wanting to move to Orlando. Or to South Florida, then to Orlando.
I think they thought that we were a little crazy at first. You know, I had a pretty good job. I had, you know, a lot of experience and history with the company I was with. And it really was not the smartest thing to do in a crashing economy to try to find another position or to, yeah, to leave the corporate headquarters and try to come down to a place where, I mean, the job market in Florida at the time was not doing that great. So that was the first hurdle we had to overcome, was actually finding somebody who was willing to hire somebody during a time of economic turmoil, you know, in a place where jobs were scarce. So they took that as I think the first sign of craziness. But we pursued, we kept kind of talking the ears off, and when they kept saying what's going on, and we were always saying, oh, we're, you know, I'm applying for this job, or I'm trying to find a house down here or a place to live within our range. I think eventually they just caught on and just started to support us.
Mind you, if I can interject, at this point, when we moved down to Florida, actually, we had a daughter. So about a year, a little over a year after we got married, I gave birth to our daughter, and I was at home with her, and I started to really delve into the digital marketing sphere, where previously I had just been in traditional marketing, license marketing, brand management, and now I was delving into the digital marketing sphere, which I can do from my home. And I started building my company, which allowed me to have autonomy, work remotely, which was important in saving money, not only on childcare expenses, but I could also work wherever Phil could get a job. So that actually, that kind of planning and working at one dream while trying to achieve another. You know, my one dream supported the other dream, essentially. So
the odds of us finding good jobs down here at the time were very nil. So
right.
Eve came up with the idea that she wanted to work for herself and work from home. And that's a whole nother accomplishment by itself and dream that was part of the bigger dream.
Right.
But we had to take those steps first in order to accomplish what we wanted to accomplish.
And moreover, we had to live on one income because we couldn't rely on mine to support us. Mine would just kind of be like gravy, you know? So that one dream buttressed the other one, I guess.
So what steps did you take to get started on your move to get down? I know you mentioned that you looked for jobs and, you know, talking to your families.
Basically started with just scattering resumes wherever I possibly could, speaking with recruiters, and actually accepting a job down in the Fort Lauderdale area with a company I didn't really want to work for. It was the Florida Turnpike. I had seen the rotation. This one particular position was always being filled and then constantly being put out there. So I knew it wasn't a great job if nobody wanted to keep it. So I had that position. I went in and talked to my boss and said, hey, I'm going to take this position. I want to move down to Florida. I had been speaking with him previous to this too. And my company had an office location in Fort Lauderdale at the time, but there was no transfer abilities. He actually did not want to lose me. So he allowed me to transfer instead. Very, very lucky for me that I did, because the day that I started work down in Fort Lauderdale, they actually laid off my entire department in New York. So that was incredible timing. The only reason I was actually allowed to stay working with the company is that I had actually taken it upon myself to move, and they had no idea I was there. I was actually on the layoff list, and when they found out I had already moved down to Fort Lauderdale, they decided to keep me around. So that was our first break.
Yes. And Phil has impeccable timing. So that should be noted, and that has always been on his side. Whatever skill set that is or conjures to have good timing, he's got that. But, and that happened again.
Yeah, and it did happen again, actually. I guess just about before I would move up to Orlando, I actually requested a transfer because my company had an Orlando office as well. They agreed to that. I actually got a better position with a different company. And as soon as that happened, my department got laid off again. So I have really good timing in that aspect. And that's where I say I'm very fortunate, and luck does play a big part of it.
But we are also thereby mindful of the fact that luck can change at any moment. And because of that, to live sensibly is very important.
It is. And I say luck too, but a lot of it's just seeing the writing on the wall and knowing when the right time to move is.
Yeah, that's I don't want you to ever work in my department. Because the moment you leave, I guess I'd be looking for another job.
It feels like the harbinger of pink slips. Yes.
So what would you say your roadblocks to moving were?
Well, I mean, there was just the employment aspect. The other one was finding a place that we could live at. I mean, Florida's great. I mean, it's a wonderful state, but not all of it's great. As far as, I guess what I'm saying, let me back that up too. Wherever the employment areas are, there's great places to live, and then there's not so great. And being able to find a place where we could raise our daughters, where the school systems would not be terrible should we decide to go the public school route, and still allow us to live the way that we wanted to live, that was our second major hurdle.
Florida is very diverse. There's a lot of latitude socially. It's almost it's a bit like the Wild Wild West. So you have to take where you're going to live into consideration with, you know, how you really want to live. You have to be honest with yourself. And there's a place for everybody here, but you shouldn't live just anywhere down here. So we had to, you know, do our research and find out what would work for us. We were really out of our element for a few years once we moved down here. We took a long time. We knew it was right, but we took a long time to adjust. We didn't know where we fit in, you know?
It took about two of the almost three years that we've been here to adjust. I mean, we've been constantly moving around, and that actually took a toll on, you know, Eve, myself, and our daughter, too. I mean, we went on vacation last week, and our daughter saw us packing and actually thought we were moving again. So
she said, oh, no, I like the house. I said, we bought this house. We're staying. We actually bought this. You know, we're not leaving, so yeah. I don't know. Maybe we have to pay for therapy later. I'm not sure.
But, I mean, there was that mental aspect of, you know, having all of your stuff in boxes, knowing that you're not going to be in one place for too long.
Not buying furniture, not putting up this or that, not really making a home the way, you know, it makes you feel comfortable.
But we believed in ourselves, and we knew that the end result was going to be that we were going to end up where we wanted to be, and that kind of drove us to keep going. But, you know, there were a few moments where it wasn't the happiest journey on earth to get to the happiest place on earth.
So what did you guys do to overcome some of these things other than future dating therapy sessions for your daughter?
You know, that's a good question.
What did we do to overcome?
You know, just basically the hurdles that we were receiving. I mean, I think it was keeping a good attitude constantly. Right. And just
focus.
And truly believing that the situations that we were in, first of all, knowing that the situations that we were in were really not bad at all. It was really just a mental hurdle for ourselves. And knowing that a situation was temporary, and just having that mindset that wherever we are, we're there because we put ourselves there. And we did everything by choice. So the fact that we were, I mean, at any time we wanted to, we could have said, okay, well, let's pick this place to live, and then we'll settle down and start getting back on with our lives. But I think just knowing that we were the ones that were in control, I mean, for me anyway, that was a big part of being able to keep going.
No, that's right. I agree. Just keeping the focus. Yeah, keeping focused. I'm not naturally, I guess, not that I'm not a space cadet, I'm not naturally one of these laser sharp focused people. You can say squirrel, I will look. You know, I grew up in that age of where there's just constant stimulation in the internet. So like, for me to really, really focus, this was something that made me focus because I wanted it. And I've never focused so hard on what I wanted and just eschewed everything else that did not have to do with this. You know, like we talking about living below our means. We talked about not putting down roots just yet because we knew that we wanted to be in the Orlando area. So there were sacrifices there. There were sacrifices socially. Didn't get too close to people who were neighbors, so on and so forth. Didn't have too many friends down in South Florida. You know, and that's hard. I'm a social person, but also a lot of it, the time was spent, you know, working, building my company and doing this or that. So I didn't have a lot of time to do that. And so you just got to keep the focus and know that what you're doing was right. And, you know, to some degree, also people saying, you know, what are you doing? Well, what's your fallback plan if the company doesn't work? There really isn't a fallback plan. There is this plan and you have to make it work. You know, you kind of, you don't give yourself the choice, you focus. And you realize that in not giving yourself the choice, that is your choice, you know? So it was really hard to keep that focus. It really was. And not to do all the things you like to do, like buy furniture for your place because you're just going to pack it up and move. You can ask Phil, do I not say every 5 seconds, like, God, I just want to put something up on the wall. I just want these curtains. I just want, you know, I want to do that. And I couldn't do that. So it was hard to keep that focus. But also, you know, I had to remind myself that a lot of the stuff I was complaining about was first world problems. And now I kind of feel like I live with much less and much happier, actually, having been through that experience. So
that's pretty crazy that you had to recognize your cons in order to make them into pros. I love the idea that, you know, this is the plan and we're going to make it work. You don't need that fallback because you're going to make it work. You're just going to do it.
Yeah, and it was just figuring out how we were going to make that possible. So, for instance, we knew we needed Eve's business to be a work from home venture, but we also knew that we couldn't just dump a whole bunch of money into it to do startup. So we had to build very slowly, and that kind of worked out perfectly because it gave Eve a lot of time to actually learn the skills that she would need to do digital marketing.
I did a lot of free work. I did a lot of free work for people. So I worked a lot. Mm-hmm. I worked hours. I woke up early. I worked late until 2, 3 a.m. after the baby went to sleep, after Phil was sleeping, because he had a normal, you know, 9-to-5 or whatever to get up for. So I did a lot of free work, and I still do a lot of free work, and I don't mind it. I mean, because I like to help other people do what we did. Mm-hmm. It wasn't work anymore at that point. And now I do get paid, but there was a lot of hours of not getting paid. But you knew that it was part of the process, and it was fun.
Yeah, as long as it winds up working out for you, that's the important part. You can say all that in hindsight, as long as it worked out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But that's what this podcast hopefully helps people do, to see that, to see things through. That will be the result, to just really give it all you got and to believe in yourself and see you through, because there's people out there. And, you know, it's a, for some people, they might say, well, what's the big deal? You moved down to Orlando. You did this. You did that. We gave up a lot of comforts. We took a lot of, albeit calculated, risks to get where we were in a relatively short amount of time. But, you know, some people don't even want to dare to dream that. I think that's maybe a lot of what's missing sometimes, I feel, in the world, and is just daring to dream that and getting creative.
And I think a big part of it is knowing what you want, too. I mean, and knowing why you want it is just as important as knowing what you want, because it turns out that maybe why you want something allows you to change your end goal, because instead of going after something so specific, which you have to be specific, but maybe that one goal that you thought was going to give you what you wanted might not once you actually do the math of what it would take to get there. And seeing the alternatives out there, you know, I think that allows you to learn a lot more about yourself and a lot more about what you're actually capable of.
Before I get into the next question, which is if there's any parts of your dream that haven't quite worked out, how long has the whole journey been to get to Orlando?
I'd say almost, I think it took us almost 4 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to get down to Florida only took us 2 years.
Right.
But then it took almost another, you know, year and change to actually get to where we wanted to be.
Wow. Yeah. It doesn't happen overnight, huh?
No, yeah. Definitely not. But I still think it was really a quick thing. I mean, well,
maybe time flew. Maybe
I think time just flew because we were so busy. But hey, now that when you say it, you know, I guess 4 years is kind of a long time. But
yeah. Yeah. It's like having a 5-year plan, but it built into that big long end goal or many small goals, like we said, that supported our goal. And I think a lot of our motivation came from having our daughter, living in a way where we could spend as much time together as possible, and living in a place that we felt comfortable raising her, in a way we felt comfortable raising her, being an example.
Mm-hmm.
And just really, you get your stuff straight, you know, when you have a kid. Some people, right from the get-go, they've just got it. We had her, and it was just...
It was a big part of it. Yeah. I mean, you know, Disney is probably just the vehicle. I mean, in reality, what we were able to do by coming down here was find extremely affordable housing with the area we moved has top-rate schools. And it just seems like it's a great place, you know, for our daughter to grow up. Fresh air. Don't get me wrong. I love New Jersey. But,
right. Well, we're living in a city.
Yeah.
With city prices, busyness. Pollution.
Yeah, and we saw where we'd probably be going if we stayed in the exact area that we were in.
Be house poor.
Yeah, so we just decided that we were going to pick up and do something different. And I think, you know, like I said before, Disney was the vehicle to get us to where we were going. But their end goal was that we wanted a certain lifestyle that we just didn't feel that we could get where we were.
Well, you certainly seem like you've gotten it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we definitely have.
So what parts of your dream haven't quite worked out the way you expected?
You know, I mean, it's hard to actually answer that because I think the end result was they actually did turn out as we expected. The means of getting there definitely didn't work out. I mean, I had a lot of prospects in the beginning. I actually made it very far through the Disney interview process, and then it just turned out that for that first time back in 2009, you know, the salary that was being offered wasn't really going to support our way of life. So that was not a possibility. We had a whole lot of times where stuff was quote unquote in the bag and it just didn't turn out.
Right.
Houses that we were going to try to move to, like I said before, there are many positions. I'm constantly looking for opportunities. And actually the company I'm at right now, I actually applied for, I got very far along the interview process, and just didn't get the job. I mean, then that was in 2012, didn't get the job, ended up being much better for me in the long run because the person who actually got the job ended up being my mentor because another position opened up at the same company. I applied. He actually saw potential in me, hired me right away, which I would never have gotten that position had I not gotten the job to begin with and not had this person there to be able to see potential in me. You know, there's the old saying that everything happens for a reason. I don't know if I believe that entirely, but it definitely helps.
Right. Yeah, there were some dead ends that we just had to accept and go a different way or just keep trying, keep hammering, keep knocking on the door. It's me again. We're back. Not going away. You know, and I guess we're both pretty good at that, being persistent, though. And we're both very stubborn and typically a negative trait, but it seems that we temper it with tact. And so we've made it work.
Yeah, I think it's knowing when to compromise, but being willing to hold on to that which you refuse to sacrifice.
So what would you say if you were stranded on a deserted island with your family and each of you had three things?
I know internet, for you it would be internet access.
Internet access is exactly what I was going to say. It's exactly what I was going to say because then I can order more important necessities like mascara, I would say internet access.
I don't know. I think I'd want some sort of mechanism to write. So this is a journal with a pen of never ending ink and a drum.
What? We're usually so in sync. I just don't even understand that. Well, that's why I love you. You're so surprised. I'm going to go with internet access and then I'll make everything else happen. And internet access, a computer, and something solar powered to continually power my devices.
Practical.
Yes.
As like I said, you know, a journal with some mechanism to write. I think I'd want some sort of a drum. I don't necessarily play the drums, but I figured I'd want music, right? And the drum is probably the closest thing I'd be able to teach myself how to play.
Hey, I'm still learning the drums. Sitting behind me is the drum set. I know you can't tell because the reverb coming off of it, so I have it covered with blankets. But Yeah, I mean, I bought a drum to try to learn.
Yeah, so make him feel better, Joe.
If I'm on a deserted island, it's not like there's going to be a radio or whatever. He wants some music. I'd provide that service for
and
you.
And you don't, you don't even know how to play the drum. I guarantee. I give you 1 hour, and that drum is in the ocean. Stop with the drum! We need to get rescued.
It's a bongo. I can turn it over and carry stuff.
The catch.
Yeah,
but I think we would probably talk about how to get off the island or the best way we can make it on the island. Mm-hmm. Because like what we did with our dreams and what we do is that we always talk and analyze and are kind of honest with each other, kind of honest. we temper it, but honest with each other where we're at, what we need to do. We need to focus, you know, or, you know, he'll tell me, you know, I see you struggling with this. And we just go back over the real philosophical points of what we're trying to do and the actual concrete points of what we're trying to do. Yeah. We constantly talk about it and assess where we're at.
Yeah, along the way, I mean, both of us at multiple times have gone off the rails. And just having the other one there to kind of pull us back, I think, has been key to actually making this happen.
Let's be honest. I was off the rails more. Phil is, like, you know, very patient. So we play on each other's strengths and we help each other out. It was key. We wouldn't have done it one without the other. No.
No.
So what would you say your dreams for the future look like?
Well, I mean, right now I'm jealous of Eve. She gets to sleep in whenever she wants to, you know, she does what she, I mean, but that old saying is if you do what you love, you never work. And I see that with her right now. I would like more of the same. I'd like to be able to join Eve in her venture. And I think our joint dream is to build the business up to the point where, you know, we're not working in a traditional means or fashion anymore, and we're still able to live the lifestyle that we want. That's going to take a whole lot of work that we haven't even conceived yet. But, you know, we've got the foundation built and we're just taking it slow.
Yeah, we're working on it. I, sometimes I have, you know, my work by nature is not exactly balanced. There's some days that I can kind of sleep in, wake up, do what I need to do, but then I'm working late, or I'm working on the weekends, or I'm working through vacation. We just took a vacation, and I did work through vacation. You know, I, of course, enjoyed time with the family, but because of the nature of my work and how it centers on Disney and Disney resorts, parks and resorts, we were at a Disney resort, so I was a lot of the time, you know, working on angles, reviewing things, considering what I needed content-wise for website, blog posts, so on and so forth. So there's a sacrifice in that. But then there's also, like I said, going to the park and going, oh, wow, what I have to do today is just get these pictures of Star Wars weekends. It's again, it doesn't feel like work, though, and I think that's the point.
Talking to Doug Barnes about how I really am enjoying what I'm doing with the show, and I hope to continue it, and hopefully it will be a full-time endeavor along with some other things that I have up my sleeve. I don't think I would consider this work. I've always found myself to enjoy doing what I enjoy, you know, and it doesn't matter whether it's for an hour or 3 hours. It doesn't matter if I'm getting paid or not paid.
Yeah, as long as it's fun, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the most important part. You got to find something that you enjoy. And that can be the hardest part. I mean, most people don't know what they want. I mean, that's why we have so many kids in debt from college, because they didn't know what they wanted. They listened to what everybody told them. And
yeah, exactly.
They just kept changing their curriculum over and over and over again.
Or they went for a profession that they didn't realize wouldn't support their ultimate goals or support them in a way that they were accustomed to or wanted to live. You have to be real about that. You have to know what you're going to sacrifice and what you can sacrifice.
One common theme on past shows was that dreams cost money.
Yes.
Yes, yes, they
And
do.
It can take a lot of money, as Walt has said.
Yeah, that's 100% true. I mean, some people say, well, what's your dream? Oh, to win the lottery. That's a wish. It's not really a dream. I mean, that kind of just happens to you. Dreams.
Well, you got
to
play.
They take work. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing, too. You do need inspiration. I mean, we couldn't live like Meisners in South Florida and never take trips up to Disney World. We had to play. And like right now, you asked us what our next goal was. And certainly we're still working on our goal. It's not like, you know, hey, there's the end of the line. It's actually just the beginning in many ways. But we're also mindful that while we go head forth into the next goal, we take a break and take a breather and recharge and refresh and come back inspired before we make another big push to something.
Yeah, I mean, the way it works with us too is we, you know, like you said, we hit those plateaus and then the next thing just sort of pops. We don't know when it happens, but we're something looking. Just pops and then...
Keep your eyes open.
Yeah, exactly. And then we make it happen. That was right. We used to joke around to say that once we vocalized it, then it had to happen. And that's pretty much been the pattern.
Yeah, it's a dangerous thing.
So do you have any last thoughts for our audience that you'd like to share?
Yeah. And when we were done this interview, I'll have even more that I didn't even talk to you about, because that's always the way it goes. You know, there's a lot of people that are going to tell you that you can't because they can't imagine. That's kind of their problem, and not something you should concern yourself with, because it's not something you need to focus on.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, I think it's just remembering that life is just magical, and there's so much about it that we don't understand, so much about our capabilities and how to tap into potential, that we just have, as a society, as a species, we just have only grazed the surface. And just to keep digging around and find those formulas that works for you and apply them to what you want, I mean, I think that's been our secret.
Yeah, live your own dream. You know, like you said, there's many kids in school going for this or that, you know, their parents think they're good at this, their teachers think they're good at this, they should do this, this is normal, this is what you should do. You know, maybe stop and ask what you're comfortable doing, what you're comfortable living with, and what you'd be happy doing. And then, you know, make that work. That's work. You live your own dream. You know?
It comes down to, you know, to what you're passionate about, I think. Mm-hmm. As long as you have that passion and that desire and that love for something, it's going to carry you. You don't know where it's going to end up, and you just have to be willing to accept a bumpy road along the way. But I truly believe that.
Well, is there any Facebook, Twitter, websites you'd like to plug before we depart?
Yes, actually. It is our baby. It's kind of a passion project, and it's Disney Aggregate website, and we promote all your favorite Disney bloggers and websites. It's called monorailmedia.com. And we have original content too, but it's kind of like the daily paper for all your Disney websites.
Yep. And at Monorail Media on Twitter.
Yes. And Facebook. And Instagram. And I think we're on Tumblr too. I work every angle. I'm out there. Come by me.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. And I really appreciated the excitement that Eve had when I told her about this show.
Yeah, that was the 5-hour energy. But no, I am genuinely excited. And I was genuinely excited that you had such a great idea for a podcast. It's inspiring. And we're very flattered that you asked us. And thank you so much. Yeah, it's just very inspiring, really.
And honestly, it's just a really cool idea that you had to have dream be the topic. And I think we're very happy that you asked us to be a part of it.
Well, thank you for being a part of it. It's great to have you on, and it's great to learn so much about you guys. Thanks again for coming on the show. And I'd like to have you guys on again at some point.
That'd be great.
You know, 6 months, a year, and we'll catch up on where you guys have been in that time. Hopefully Phil doesn't leave a job and then everybody gets fired.
Yeah.
Okay, now we got to start working on a dream.
That's cool.
No, that's awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much for actually having this really great idea. I can't wait to share with everyone.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.